بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد Continuing in the book of Al-Tahara Kitab Al-Tahara, the book of purification Completing the chapter that we have been reading from Babu Ghusl Janabah The chapter of making ghusl from Al-Janabah We have completed the narrations that the author Al-Hafidh Abdul Ghani Al-Maqdisi has mentioned Rahimahullah Ta'ala in this chapter In our previous class we were discussing the issue There was a question about the manner a woman will make ghusl if she has her hair in braids This was the question, Sahih. Naam. Actually, this same question was presented to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam from a noble woman, Salama, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam wa radiyallahu anha. It has been collected in Sahih Muslim that she said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, inni mra'atun ashuddu dhafri رأسي أفأنقضه لغسل الجنابة سلمة she said to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم رضي الله عنها O Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم Verily I am a woman who braids her hair and he ties her hair into braids Should I take them down for making the غسل of جنابة Should I take them down for making the غسل of جنابة قال صلى الله عليه وسلم لا إنما يكفيك أن تحثي على رأسك ثلاث حثيات ثم تفيضين عليك الماء فتطهرين فتطهرين The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم he said no She asked him again رضي الله عنها that she ties her hair into braids Should she take them down any of the braids whenever she makes the ghusl of janaba the ghusl of janaba Naam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, no, it suffices you just to pour three handfuls of water on your head and then to pour water on the rest of your body and then you will become clean. And then you will become clean. So here we see this is a question specifically presented to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about a woman and about the ghusl. Of Janaba, about a woman with her hair in braids. The ulama, they mentioned the same thing for a man, likewise, if the man has braids as well. It's the same ruling. But here the question is specific to ghusl al-janaba. So this ruling is established. And the ulama, they have agreed about this issue. That it's not an obligation to remove the braids for the ghusl of Janaba. But the issue now is not for janabah, but for al-hayd. For hayd. Because in one wording of this narration, it has been mentioned in Sahih Muslim likewise, لِلْحَيْضَةِ وَالْجَنَابَةِ أَفَأَنْقُضُهُ لِلْحَيْضَةِ وَالْجَنَابَةِ She said, should I take it down for the hayd and the janabah? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned the narration. But with regards to the wording al-hayda or the mentioning of the menses part, the ulama have differed about this actual wording. So some of the ulama, they mentioned that it is not obligatory to take them down for the janabah, but it's obligatory to take them down for the hayda, for the hayd. And they have mentioned because the janabah, it occurs a lot, so it could be, or it occurs often, so it could become a hardship or difficulty. As for the hayd, then it's only one time. Then it's only one time. And also maybe that during that time she has her hair in the braid the whole time during the hayd and the likes. But in any case, this is one of the opinions of the ulama. But many of the ulama likewise have mentioned that it's only recommended. It's not obligatory to take it down for the janabah and it's recommended. From them, Shaykh Ibn Baz, rahimahullah ta'ala, that it's recommended to take them down for the hayd, if it's possible. In any case, the Shaykh Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned that the way that this woman, she would take the ghusl, and to remove the hadith, that the meaning of the narration is that likewise, still the head has to become entirely wet, and the hair has to become entirely wet likewise. So the fact that the one doesn't have to take the hair down doesn't mean that it's you just put water on there or wipe them, but rather the hair has to become wet, and the scalp likewise has to become wet. So then she must still bring the water to her scalp, and in a manner that the whole body will become wet. And also, Sheikh Uthaymeen, he mentioned even actually that she would put the braid under the water and until it becomes wet, and maybe even wring it or squeeze it until the water goes into the braids. This is the case if they're very tight. But in any case, the water has to go there, whether she takes them down or not. If she doesn't take them down, it's permissible and not obligatory. And the best opinion, wallahu a'lam, is not in the janabah or the hayd, as Shaykh Ibn Baz, he has mentioned. Also Shaykh Uthaymeen, he mentioned. But it's recommended to take them down for the hayd and the likes. And what is obligatory is for the water to go to the scalp, as if the braids were not there. Likewise, for the hair to become wet, to become soaked with water. And Allah knows best. So other than that, her ghusl is the same as the man. Her ghusl is the same as the man. And this is the ruling with regards to that. The author, he mentioned the next chapter, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, Babu Tayammum. Babu At-Tayammum. The chapter of At-Tayammum. After mentioning the rulings with regards to purification and removing the hadith and also removing the najasa with water, then the author, he moves on now to mention the rulings that are related to removing the hadith with a tayammum, with using pure and clean dirt. A tayammum, the means for purification are two types: water and dirt. And this is actually the foundation or the asl of the human being, that he's made from dirt and from water. And these are the two means of purification, likewise, that ulama have mentioned. Tahara, it will be by water, and this is the origin. And or it will be by way of dirt, and this is the substitute for the water, if there is no water, or if the water is not available, or if it is not possible to use the water for some reason, for some legislative reason. The water could be present, but it's not possible to use it. Likewise, it is legislated for a believer to make a tayammum. So we see that water, it is, we see in the asl for at-tahara, and it purifies the inside and the outside, yani spiritually and physically. It removes the hadith and also removes the khabith. As for the tayammum, it doesn't remove the khabith, but it removes the hadith. So it is a purification that purifies yani spiritually or the inside. At-tahara bil-ma' tutahiru al-zahira wal-bathina. أما التطهر أو طهارة بالتيمم فإنما يطهر الباطن. It only purifies the inside aspect of the purification, and he removing the hadith. So that means that a person, for example, if he had najasa on his clothing and he needed to pray and there's no water, then he will not make tayammum for that najasa. He will not make tayammum for that najasa. Rather, he will just try to remove it the best that he can, and then pray in that manner. And then pray in that manner. So tayammum is not used for zawal al-khabith. It's only used for raf'u al-hadith. Raf'u al-hadith. Naam. So the ulama, they mention that tayammum badiru al-ma'. It is the substitute of water. Fi hali adami wujud al-ma'. Aw wal-ajzi an isti'malihi. I need to clarify that at-tayammum, it is the substitute for water whenever there is no water, or whenever one is not able to use the water. One is not able to use the water. So one could not just make tayammum at any time. Rather, first there must be conditions. And one of them is that water is not, there's no water available. And a person, he has to also make effort to find the water. Naam, Allah Azza wa Jal, he mentioned the verses of at-tayammum along with the verses of wudu. And Allah, he said in his book, وَإِن كُنْتُمْ مَرْضَىٰ أَوْ عَلَىٰ سَفَرٍ أَوْ جَاءَ أَحَدٌ مِّنْكُمْ مِّنَ الْغَائِطِ أَوْ لَامَسْتُمُ النِّسَاءَ فَلَمْ تَجِدُوا مَاءً فَتَيَمَّمُوا صَعِيدًا طَيِّبًا فَامْسَحُوا بِوُجُوهِكُمْ وَأَيْدِيكُمْ. This is the portion from Surah An-Nisa. And also another portion has been mentioned in the book of Allah in Surah Al-Ma'idah. فَامْسَحُوا بِوُجُوهِكُمْ وَأَيْدِيكُمْ مِّنْهُ minhu, a tradition of minhu. In any case, Allah Azza wa Jal, He mentioned in His book about tayammum that if you are sick, or if you are traveling, or you, one of you has come from the restroom, or has had relations with women, then and he does not find water, then he can make tayammum from the pure earth. Sa'id and tayyiba. And yet, sa'id huwa al-tarab al-tahir. Sa'id al-tayyib huwa ma sa'ida ala wajh al-ard. The ulama, they differed about this issue likewise, about is it specific for dirt or anything that comes from the earth, like also sand and stones and rocks and even trees, anything that comes naturally, and as Allah has created it from the earth, rising up from the earth. Some mentioned that it's permissible to make tayammum with all of these things. In any case, this is what Allah has mentioned here. فَتَيَمَّمُوا سَعِيدًا طَيِّبًا فَامْسَحُوا بِوُجُوهِكُمْ وَأَيْدِيكُمْ. Wipe with that dirt, or with what has come from the earth, your faces and your hands. So we see here in this verse, Allah Azza wa Jalla has mentioned specifically, and also the author, he mentioned narrations that will clarify this same issue, that tayammum, it is, as I mentioned, a substitute for the water, and in all cases. A substitute for the water in all cases. And a substitute for the water in the minor hadith, and also in the major hadith. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He clarified this in these verses. Who can clarify that? And these verses here. إِن كُنْتُمْ مَرْضَىٰ أَوْ عَلَىٰ سَفَرٍ أَوْ جَاءَ أَحَدٌ مِّنْكُمْ مِّنَ الْغَائِطِ أَوْ لَامَسْتُمُ النِّسَاءَ فَلَمْ تَجِدُوا مَاءً فَتَيَمَّمُوا صَعِيدًا طَيِّبًا فَامْسَحُوا بِوُجُوهِكُمْ وَأَيْدِيكُمْ. This is the proof for the tayammum, but we want to talk about now the issue is about this tayammum. Is it only for minor hadith, al-hadith al-asgar, or al-hadith al-akbar? That's with reference to al-hadith al-akbar. And the one with reference to al-hadith al-asgar? Min al-ghaid. If one of you comes from the ghaid, if one of you comes from the restroom, this is in reference to al-hadith al-asgar, the minor impurity. صح؟ أو لامستم النساء. يعني الملامسة هنا بمعنى الجماع. The ulama have mentioned. Or you have relations with women. So this is a reference to the major hadith, the hadith al-akbar. So then, at-tayammum is sufficient for both of them. If a person, he found himself in a situation where he had al-hadith al-asgar and he has no water. He has no water. He looked for the water, he has no water, and he does not perceive or think that he will be able to find or obtain water before the time of Salat goes out. And he has a hadith asgar. What does he do? فَتَيَمَّمُوا سَعِيدًا طَيِّبًا فَامْسَحُوا بِوُجُوهِكُمْ وَأَيْدِيكُمْ مِنْ. Then you make tayammum from this pure dirt, and you wipe your face and your hands in this manner. Likewise, أَوْلَى مَسْلُمُ النِّسَىٰ. This is with reference for a major hadith. So if a person also, he found himself in a situation where he had al-hadith al-akbar, and he was upon janaba, and he did not have the water, or he's not able to use the water for a reason. For example, the water will harm him if he used it, or it's because of a sickness that he has, or an ailment that he has. For example, he's not able to use it. Then it's permissible for him in this state, even if he's in a state of janaba, that he will just فَتَيَمَّمُوا صَعِيدًا طَيِّبًا فَامْسَحُوا بِوُجُوهِكُمْ وَأَيْدِيكُمْ. The same ruling. Then you make the tayammum with the clean earth, with the pure earth that is tahir, tayyib, and then you only wipe your face and your hands. You only wipe your face and your hands for both of them. So then tayammum, it will remove al-hadith al-asgar and al-hadith al-akbar in the same manner. And the manner to do that, and the ulama have differed, but likewise, and Allah knows best, the best opinion is that you hit the earth one time. Darbatan al-ard. Darbatan wahida lil-wajhi wal-yadain. To hit the dirt one time. And then wipe your face and wipe your hands. Like this. The ulama have differed likewise about the tartib. And Shaykh Ibn Baz has mentioned that the tartib is according to the ayah. فَامْسَحُوا بِوُجُوهِكُمْ وَأَيْدِيكُمْ. And also in some of the narrations, it has been mentioned like this. And Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, "Fabda'u." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned about Safa wal Marwa, "Nabda'u bima bada Allahu bih," that we begin with what Allah began with. So from this understanding, many of the ulama, they mentioned to begin with the face and then the hands. Other ulama, they mentioned the other way, and they have evidences likewise. Even Ibn Hajar, he mentioned there's no tartib because of the way the evidences have appeared in this particular issue. But Allah knows best to follow the way of the Qur'an, beginning with the face and then the hands. Beginning with the face and then the hands. In some narrations likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he hit the earth and then he blow off the dust. Blow off the dust from his hands and wipe his face and then wipe his hands. The bottom of his hands on the top of his hands like this. And he's finished. And now the hadith is gone. And it's permissible to do everything that you could do if you made wudu with water. In both cases, a major hadith or a minor hadith. And this is also an issue where the ulama have differed, and Allah knows best. The best opinion is that a tayammum is rafi'un al-hadith. Some of the ulama, they mention mubihun lima yushtaratu bihi salat, or is it rafi' nam lil-hadith. And the best opinion is that it removes the hadith entirely. And if somebody made a tayammum for a nafil, he can pray the obligatory. If he made the obligatory, he made the tayammum to read Quran, and he can pray the obligatory salat, and the tayammum remains. And he doesn't have to make tayammum for every act of worship. You understand that? Somebody, he made tayammum to pray, and then he wants to pray again. Does he have to make tayammum again? If he's in the same situation, he doesn't have to. If he's in the same situation, there's still no water, then he doesn't have to. His tahara remains until it is invalidated from one of the ways that is known. And he, using the restroom, so on and so forth, or passing gas, or having janaba, and then the tayammum will be invalidated, just as the wudu is invalidated. So a person, he's not allowed to make tayammum except if there is no water, and except if he looks for the water. Now he searched for the water. So a person can't be negligent in this issue, because Allah, he says, فَلَمْ تَجِدُوا مَاءً, and you didn't find water. Meaning that a person, he looked for it. فَلَمْ تَجِدُوا مَاءً. If you did these affairs, one of you came from the restroom, or he had relations with women, and then he did not find water. Meaning that the person, he has to look for water. Now, and make his effort to look for the water. Then if he finds that he does not have water, and then is not going to probably most likely find the water or obtain water before the time is out, then he will make tayammum and pray. If he thinks that probably he can get the water, most likely, for example, if he's traveling, he doesn't have water, the time of salat comes. But he knows down the road, maybe an hour or so, there is a station or a place where he can obtain water. Then it's preferable for him to wait and to make wudu with the water, because this is a condition and of the prayer to make wudu or to make tahara with water. And that's better to fulfill that condition than to take the virtue of praying in the first of the time. Although if somebody prayed in the first of the time with wudu, inshallah, his prayer is correct. And as long as he doesn't have water, or the issue here is about which one is better for him. If he thinks that for example, the dhuhr came in, and he's not going to, he doesn't have water now, but possibly he can get it in an hour. And he won't be able to pray in the first of the time, but he can pray an hour later, or an hour and a half later, before the dhuhr prayer goes out. Then it's better for him to wait. Shaykh Uthaymeen, he mentioned that, rahimahullah ta'ala, that way he can, because to pray in the first of the time is a virtue, no doubt, but to fulfill the condition of praying with tahara from water, this is better. This is better. Also, the person, for example, if he prayed with tayammum, and then the time came, and he's still in the time, and then water came, what should he do? For example, he prayed Maghrib with us upon tayammum, and now water came. 15 minutes later, should he make wudu and repeat salat? Huh? No, that's right, because he has performed what is obligatory upon him. At the time, he did not have water, so he performed what was obligatory upon him. He made the effort to find it, so on and so forth, and then he did not find the water, or he was not able to use the water. and the likes, and then the water came, and then later he was able to use the water, and it's still in the time of that same salat. He does not have to repeat it. Actually, it has been narrated in Sunan Abi Dawud, also in Sunan An-Nasa'i, that two men, they were traveling, and they both they ran out of water. One of them made tayammum, or they both made tayammum. They both made tayammum, and one of them, he repeated the prayer. He repeated the prayer. And the other one, he didn't repeat the prayer. One of them, they made tayammum, and then one of them, after they got the water, he repeated the prayer. The other one, he didn't repeat the prayer. Understand the issue? And then they came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then they told him the issue. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told the one who didn't repeat the prayer, he said, "Asabta as-sunnah wa ajza'atka salatuka." He said, "You achieved and you followed the sunnah, and your salat was sufficed you." And then the other one who prayed the prayer twice, he prayed with the tayammum, then after the water came, he prayed again. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Ajruka marratayn." That you have got the reward two times, and you've got two rewards. Naam? So which one is better then? Two rewards or to achieve the sunnah? To achieve the sunnah. Naam? Especially for somebody now who knows this narration. And somebody couldn't say now, "Oh no, I want to have two rewards." No, because he won't have two rewards. Rather, he will be performing innovation, because he knows that that's not permissible. Because what is required now, that person, that companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, at that time he did not know, so that he made ijtihad. He made ijtihad. And then he performed it, the prayer, one time with tayammum, and then again after making wudu, so he has a reward for both of them. He has reward for both prayers, but he did not know the ruling. That's why he prayed twice. As for somebody now who knows the sunnah, and he told the other person, "Anta asabta sunnah," that you have achieved the sunnah, and then this is better than having to be upon the sunnah is better than to have a reward twice but not being upon the sunnah. The reward for being upon the sunnah, of course, is greater, and the barakah is in following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But anyways, now after this, now the person to know that and say, "Oh, I want to have the reward twice," that it won't be like that, because the sunnah is clarified. The sunnah is clarified. So the sunnah is that you don't repeat the salah. If he prayed with wudu and he had met the proper requirements and conditions, with the yammum, and he has met the proper requirements and conditions, and then water came in the same time before the salah goes out, he does not repeat it. And this is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that prayer is sufficient. طيب, what about if somebody, he's praying, he made tayammum, and then he's praying, and then water comes in the middle of his prayer. In the middle of his prayer, somebody comes in the back, "I got the water." And he's in the second rak'ah, for example, of dhuhr. The ulama, they differed about this issue. But we go back to the verse. What does Allah say? فَلَمْ تَجِدُوا مَاءً فَلَمْ تَجِدُوا مَاءً. This person now, is he finding water or not? During the prayer, he's finding the water? He's finding the water. The water is present. Is there water? The condition, that the ability to use to make tayammum as a substitute for wudu, for water, is that a person, he does not have water, or he's not able to use water. He's not able to use water. This person now, he hasn't completed the prayer, and the water comes, he has the water. The ulama, they differed about this. Sheikh Ibn Baz, and likewise Sheikh Uthaymeen, both of them, rahimahumullah, they mentioned it's better and it's safer for him to stop and go make wudu and pray with water at this time. Because they both said the same thing in their fatwa, that this person, he's found water at this time. Likewise, the person, for example, he made tayammum, and then he prayed his salat, he still has tayammum. But if water comes, now can he continue to pray without... He has tahara upon, but he made tayammum, right? And then water comes. For example, he made tayammum right now, and then he's about to pray. Somebody says, I got the water. So they say, "No, I'm already upon tahara. I made tayammum, I'm good." He can't make tayammum now because he has water. He has water. Naam, it's been narrated also from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, "Inna sa'id al-tayyib tahur al-muslimi wa in lam yajid al-ma'a 10 sinin. Fi idha wajad al-ma'a falyumassahu basharatuhu." نعم وذلك خير له. He said that verily the pure earth is the means for purification for a Muslim, even if it takes 10 years. But if he finds water, then let him put it on his skin. And he meant let him use it. And this is better for him. And so if the water comes, he has to use it. If there's no water, then it's permissible to use it, even if the period is a long time, to make tayammum. For even like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ashra sinin, even if it's 10 years. But if water comes, if he finds the water, then he has to use the water. Then he has to use the water. So then he can't continue upon the tayammum if the water becomes present and available. Or if the reason that he was not able to use the water is gone. If that reason is gone. For example, because Allah, He said, وَإِن كُنْتُمْ مَرْضَى أَوْ أَلَى سَفَرٍ أَوْ كُنْتُمْ أَوْ جَاءَ أَحَدٌ مِّنْكُمْ مِّنَ الْغَائِطِ أَوْ لَمَسْتُمْ نِسَى فَلَمْ تَجِدُوا مَاءً فَتَيَمَّمُوا صَعِيدًا طَيِّبًا. So this is from the understanding the ulama mentioned, that the one who does not have water, or the one who is not able to use water because he's sick, for example. If he is sick, and maybe the water will make him sicker. Or if it's very, very cold, and then he has to make ghusl, for example, of janaba, then and if he's afraid that if he were to make the ghusl, he doesn't have anything to heat it with, that he would become sick, or it would harm him. At this time, it's permissible. At this time, it's permissible. Naam. So these are some of the rulings that are related to at-tayammum. At-tayammum. The author, he mentioned, he says here, عن إمرأة بن حسين رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم رأى رجلا معتزلا لم يصلي في القوم فقال يا فلان ما منعك أن تصلي في القوم فقال يا رسول الله أصابتني جنابة ولا ماء قال عليك بالصعيد فإنه يكفيك. نعم. So here the author, he mentioned the narration of Imran ibn Hussein radiallahu anhu. It's mentioned Imran ibn Hussein, he was very righteous and very pious from the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa kana faqihan, very knowledgeable. And he accepted Islam in the year of Khaybar, Aam al-Khaybar. What year was that? The seventh year, Ahsant. The seventh year. Likewise, it's mentioned that Abu Hurairah, either he accepted Islam in that year, or he accepted Islam before that, but he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in that year, the same year, Aam al-Khaybar, which is the seventh year of the Hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Also, been mentioned about Imran ibn Hussein radiallahu anhu that the angels used to give him salam, and that was affirmed from him, that the angels used to give him salam, and he would hear them. Because of his piety and his righteousness, the angels would give him salam, radiallahu anhu, Imran ibn Hussein. He said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he saw a man, mu'tazilan, and mutanahiyan, and he was on the side. The people are here, the Muslims are here with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he is mu'tazilan, yani on the side, away from them. Al-uzla is yani al-ibti'ad, to be away from a person, to be away from the people. And the like. So he is on the side of them, away from them, and he away from the group or the congregation. لم يصلي في القوم. He didn't pray with the people. He didn't pray with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the people. It's been mentioned in some of the narrations that this was in a travel, and also this is the prayer of Fajr. This is the prayer of Fajr. So Imran radiallahu anhu, he noticed that they're praying. They pray the Fajr prayer with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in congregation. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's seen this man, he is on the side, away from everybody. He didn't pray with the people. He didn't pray with the people. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he went to him, ya fulan, so and so, ma mana'aka an tusalli fi al-qawm, what prohibited you from praying with us, and with the people? Why didn't you pray? What is the reason that stopped you from praying with the congregation? فَقَالَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. So he said, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَصَابَتْنِي جَنَابَةٌ, I have been inflicted, or janaba, I have janaba, I have been inflicted with janaba, and janaba, I have janaba, وَلَا مَاءَ, and there is no water. نعم. قَالَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ عَلَيْكَ بِالصَّعِيدِ فَإِنَّهُ يَكْفِيكَ. He said, then you have to go to the pure dirt, and verily it will suffice you. Meaning to make tayammum from the pure dirt, and verily it will suffice you. Verily it will suffice you. فَعَلَيْكَ بِالسَّعِيدِ. So many of the ulama, they mention from here that the sa'id is ma sa'ida ala wajh al-ard. Yani anything that comes from the earth, that comes up from the earth, from the dirt, or from the sand, or dust and the likes, or even stones or rocks, or even the trees that come from the face of the earth, that they rise up from the face of the earth. This is all something that a person could make wudu, make tayammum with. Some of the ulama, they mentioned that rather it's a condition for that thing to have dust on it, to have dirt on it, to actually have a ghubar, which is the dirt on it. So they would say that it's permissible, for example, to make a stone if it had dirt on it, if it had dust on it. And there's a difference of opinion about this. But all of the ulama, they agreed that if a person made wudu with dirt or with dust, that something that has dirt on it, then it would be, made tayammum, then it would suffice him. So if a person, he's able to use dirt, he shouldn't use a rock or a stone that has nothing on it. And it's better to avoid the differences of opinion here. Like this. So then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Alayka bis sa'id fa innahu yakfik." And even there are some narrations that the dirt has been mentioned precisely, specifically. In any case, it's a difference of opinion here. So it's better to use something that has ghubar on it, it has dirt on it, if it's possible. If there's nothing possible, then even if you had a stone that is smooth, inshallah, it would suffice. Or if there was a rock that didn't have any dirt on it, inshallah, he could hit his hands on it and it would suffice him. But better than that, and what all of the ulama would agree about, if he had used it on dirt, or if the rock itself had dirt on it, or if he, for example, he was in a land that only has sand, that would suffice likewise. But the best thing, and Allah knows best is to have turab, tahir, that it has to be clean and pure. So here we see that this man, he didn't pray with the people. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so I mean, this is something that is conspicuous. Why didn't he pray? What is the issue here? But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he didn't go to him and blame him. Or he didn't go to him and accuse him. What are you, a hypocrite? You don't pray, or like this. Rather, whenever the issue, it could be both ways. Maybe he has an excuse, maybe he doesn't have an excuse. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he asked and he tried to find out the reason and the issue. And this is the way of a believer likewise, following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If he sees one of his brothers doing something that could be understood in a good way or a bad way, he won't immediately accuse him or immediately find fault with him, or he won't immediately blame him. But rather, if that's the case, he will go to him and he will try to find out the reality and to make sure. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did here, he said, "Ma mana'aka an tusalli bil qawm?" What prohibited you? And obviously there's something prohibiting. He didn't come to him and say, "You didn't pray, what are you, a hypocrite?" La. He said, "What is the reason that stopped you from praying?" And giving him the benefit of the doubt, meaning there must be a reason there. "Mama, what prohibited you?" Like this. So this is from the good manners. And likewise, this person, he mentioned clearly and he clarified his excuse also in the same light, that a person, if he has done something that is contrary to what is correct or what is normal in the congregation or in the eyes of others, then he should clarify his reason. He should clarify his reason to free himself from blame. As this companion, he did, he said, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, asabatni al-janaba. I have janaba, and this is my excuse. So we see that this companion, radiallahu anhu, he was unaware of the ruling of janaba. He was unaware of the ruling of tayammum, with janaba. Maybe possibly he knows that it was sufficed. Tayammum was sufficient for a minor hadith, but obviously he didn't know that it was sufficient for a major hadith. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he clarified this ruling. Innama yakfika. عَلَيْكَ بِالسَّعِيدِ فَإِنَّهُ يَكْفِيكَ. It will suffice you to go to the Sa'id, meaning to make tayammum. And this will suffice you. So just as the verse mentioned likewise, this hadith, it clarifies that tayammum, it removes the minor hadith and the major hadith. The minor hadith as well as the major hadith. Now, so the author, he mentioned the next narration. He says, rahimahullah, and Ammar ibn Yasir, radiyallahu anhuma. Ammar ibn Yasir. Who knows who that is? Radiyallahu anhuma. Ammar ibn Yasir. Who is his father? Yasir. Ali Yasir. Who is his mother? The wife of Yasir. Who is that? What's her name? Huh? Sumayya. Ah, who is Sumayya radiallahu anha? She's the first one to be martyred, huh, in Islam. This is his mother. Likewise, his father was killed. They were tortured in Mecca whenever the Muslims were weak and they were not able to defend themselves. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was not allowed to fight back. And from those Muslims who were tortured was the family of Yasir. The family of Yasir, radiallahu anhum jami'an. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to pass by them and he would tell them, sabran ya ala Yasir, to be patient. Be patient, family of Yasir, radiallahu anhu. And he died in the punishment. He died in the punishment. But before that, Abu Jahl, he stabbed Sumayya, his wife, and her private parts. Well, they were punishing them and torturing them because they believe in Allah and because they believe in the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not for any other reason. Not for any other reason. And they're torturing them. And he stabbed Abu Jahl, stabbed her in her private parts until he killed her. And she's the first shaheed. She was the first shaheed, radiallahu anha. Now I'm standing firm for her religion, radiallahu anha. And then likewise Yasir, he was also tortured to death, radiallahu anhu. But Ammar, he was the son of Yasir. May Allah be pleased with all of them and the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So he lived some time. He's narrating this narration. He says, قَالَ بَعَثَنِي النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فِي حَاجَةٍ فَاجْتَنَبْتُ. He said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he sent me out for a need. And it's been mentioned that this was a sariya, one of those excursions that go out at nighttime for some military purposes or so, for some needs that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would have. He would send out battalions, sometimes in the daytime and sometimes in the nighttime. And sometimes he would go and sometimes he would not go. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam, has been mentioned that he was on a sariya. This is one of those battalions or brigades that would be sent out at nighttime. So Ammar, he says, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he sent me out for this need. Fajtanabtu. So I became junub. So he says, Falam ajid al-ma. He said, I didn't find the water. I don't have the water. Nam fatamarragtu fi sa'idi kama tamarragu ad-daba. He said, so I rolled around in the dirt the way that an animal rolls around in the dirt. And he woke up, he has with janaba. And obviously he's not aware of the ruling of tayammum. Yani with regards to janaba likewise. And so knowing that whenever you make tayammum for the hadith al-asgar, what do? The ruling is aware, is clear. Your face and your hands. But that's replacing the wudu, which is on the bodies. But whenever somebody has janaba, then what does he have to do with the water? The whole body. So he's making qiyas here, and he's making an analogy. He's like, okay, whenever you have wudu, you can make tayammum on your hands and face, but whenever you have janaba, we're going to have to make tayammum on your whole body. So this is an evidence the ulama have mentioned in the usul, the usuliyun, that the sahaba, they used to use qiyas. The qiyas was present in the time, and to make analogy to establish rulings, and also ad-ijtihad, that if one of the companions was not clear on the issue and he did not have a text to verify the ruling and to clarify the proper hukum, then they would make ijtihad. They would make ijtihad, and then they would go back to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So al-qiyas, what ijtihad, both of these affairs were known even in the time of the companions, and this narration is an evidence for that. So he has janaba. So he said, fatamarragtu. Yani fi sa'idi kama tatamarragu aw kama tamarragu ad-daba. So I rolled in the dirt, in the clean dirt, the way that an animal rolls in the dirt. And he hoping to get his whole body covered in the dirt. Yani he says, thumma ataytu an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam fa dhakartu lahu. And then I came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and I mentioned that to him. Fa qala inna ma kana yakfika an taqula bi yadayka hakadha. He said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, it would suffice you just to say with your hands like this. ثُمَّ ضَرَبَ يَدَيْهِ الْأَرْضَ ضَرْبَةً وَاحِدَةً. Then he hit his hands on the ground one time. ثُمَّ مَسَحَ الشِّمَالَ عَلَى الْيَمِينِ وَظَاهِرَ كَفَيْهِ وَوَجْهَهُ. And then he wiped his left hand on his right hand and the palms on the top of his hands and wiped his face. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So Ammar radiallahu anhu, he mentioned to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and his situation, what happened. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, it would suffice you to say with your hands like this, to say with your hands like this. And this is an indication that sometimes they'll use the word al-qaw, which is a statement to refer to an action. You say with your hands like this, and he hit the ground. Naam sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and then he hit the ground one time. Naam, so this is a clear evidence for how many times you hit the dirt, one time. There are other wordings that have come two times, and there's other wordings. Likewise, he says here, this one time, huh? And then he wiped his left hand on his right hand and on top with both of the kef is this part right here, wiping his hands like this, and then his face, and then his face. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So this is clear that there's only one time for both the hands and the face. There are other narrations or wordings that have come where they're mentioned as two times. And even there's also one wording where it's mentioned from also from his hand to the elbows. But these wordings are not authentic, and they all have weaknesses in them. And the strongest, the ulama have mentioned, the strongest narration and the most correct narration is this narration here, which of course we see is in Bukhari and Muslim. This is both in Bukhari and Muslim, as the author has mentioned that this is the all the narrations in this work are both in Bukhari and in Muslim. So we see that it's one time. You hit the dirt one time. And then here it says, ثُمَّ مَسَّهَا الشِّمَالَ عَلَى الْيَمِينِ وَظَاهِرَ كَفَيْهِ وَوَجْهَهُ. So here in this narration we see that he mentioned that he wiped the hands first and then the face. So from here, but the ulama, they mentioned that here we use the word waw. The word waw means and. And this doesn't indicate that there's tartib. This doesn't indicate that there's tartib. For example, if somebody said now, دَخَلَ زَيْدٌ وَعَمْرٌ دَخَلَ زَيْدٌ وَعَمْرٌ. Who entered first? مَنْ دَخَلَ أَوَّلًا. We don't know. It doesn't know. There's no indication here in the Arabic language, because wow, it doesn't indicate any tartib. It doesn't indicate any tartib. It just means that the action had occurred together. And دخل زيدٌ وعمرٌ. Maybe Amr came in first, but there's no indication here, because wow, it just, the ulama, they say wow تفيد مطلق الجمع. الواو حرف عطف تفيد مطلق الجمع. But if it said ثم. For example, if somebody said دخل زيد ثم عمر, now زيدون, he entered first. زيدون entered first, and then after that عمر. If we said دخل زيد فعمر, what does that mean? زيد first, but عمر came right after him. But عمر came right after him. نعم, but عمر came right after him. And so, thumma means tartib, but maybe there's some time or a brief period between the arrangement. As for if fa comes, that means that it occurred right after. Fa tufidu wa tartib wa taqib. The fa, it means that there's arrangement there, and then it came precisely after that. Fada'a rabbahu anni maghlubun fantasir. Fafatahna abawab as-sama'i bima'in munhamir. And this is an indication here, the ulama, they mentioned that fa, that Nuh alayhi salam, he made dua, fafatahna. So after he made dua, his dua was answered. Yani, right after that, he made dua and then he was answered. Fafatahna, they bring this benefit from the fa. And some people think that's only one letter, fa. Fa, one letter. But these are letters that have meanings. And the one who learns the Arabic language, he benefit from that. And the ulama, they abstract rulings from these letters. So for here, this narration, it doesn't indicate that there is any tartib. But there have been some wordings that mention thumma. But Allah knows best, the ulama, they differed about this. Which one is should come first? Shaykh Ibn Baz, as I mentioned, he mentioned that you follow the tartib of the ayah. So then how would a person make tayammum? How do you make tayammum? Who can show us? Uh-huh. He has a different opinion.
He has the other opinion, huh? The other opinion. You're going to do the hands first. Inshallah, if somebody has that, any of the ulama, they have the difference of opinion here. So, but Allah knows best. And inshallah, Ibn Hajar, he mentioned because of the strong evidence on both sides, there's no tartib. Ibn Hajar, he mentioned in Fath al-Bari, because of how it came with wow here and over here it came with thumma, this indicates that there's no tartib. So if a person did this one first or that one first, that the Hanabila, they mentioned actually, and Shaykh Ibn Baz likewise, he mentioned actually that there's tartib in if you make tiyammum for wudu. If you make tiyammum for wudu, he finds that it should be tartib because there's tartib in wudu. And in wudu, with water, there's tartib. So in this case, that's whenever the tartib is an obligation. And that according to the position of Shaykh Ibn Baz, you begin with the face. As Allah has begun in the ayah. فَمْسَحُوا بِوَجُوهِكُمْ وَأَيْدِيكُمْ مِنْ فَمْسَحُوا بِوَجُوهِكُمْ وَأَيْدِيكُمْ مِنْ And the statement of دَعُوا بِمَا بَدَ اللَّهُ بِهِ That we begin with what Allah began with. Yani this is an understanding of Shaykh Ibn Baz rahimahullah ta'ala. As for if it was making tayammum for janaba, for the ghusl, janaba, then there's no tartib, there's no condition for tartib, and Allah knows best. And Allah knows best. Who can now? Huh? Aywa. What was it? Aywa. Okay. What is it? If it anam, aywa. The question about we discussed from the things that obligate ghusl, from the obligations of ghusl is iltiqa' al-khitanain. Iltiqa'u al-khitanain. Idha iltaqa al-khitanani faqad wajib al-ghusl. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned in one wording, idha mas al-khitanu al-khitana faqad wajib al-ghusl, if the two private parts touch. But the word here is khitan. Khitan is the place of circumcision. The place of circumcision. So this is what we understand here. They mentioned whenever the places of circumcision touch. This is the rule. Inshallah, we'll discuss the issue tomorrow. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Hada wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.